Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infinite Cast, Part 2, Inherent Cast, Part 15, something like that. It's funny how we're, like, getting to the end of this book, and we're only, like, 15 parts in, or, like, in the back half of the book.
We're not quite getting to the end.
We're in the back half.
We're more than halfway there.
When did we
start
this? Like, over the summer or something?
Well, we moved in June. I think we started it in maybe September or late August.
Yeah, so this will be,
August?
And we've been doing this at a very lazy pace.
A desultory pace.
But you know what? Since the content on this pod is evergreen, I'm not feeling too pressured on it. In fact, I just got a DM today from a gentleman who DM'd me, Paul Allen Heaven.
Throwback.
Which is a throwback to maybe one of our first 10 episodes where we did the, filmography of James O. Incandenza, which was like an hour long episode. And I was like, look, if you listen to this whole thing, you know, DM me something, I'll send you a treat. So people are still finding the show.
Yeah.
And also finding it pleasing.
Yeah.
That guy was like, I'm into the whole, I like the idea of the pod, the meta idea of the pod, and the whole idea of just like reading a book despite its cultural connotations.
Shout out to reading. Some might say it's fundamental.
Yes. Anyway, should we get into this?
Let's get into it.
We're night pod here. This is usually a weekend morning pod,
it's
dark out, so the vibe is slightly different. Let's see if there's an appreciable element of inherent cast after dark.
Podcasting at night.
Night podding. Night podding.
Right, poor Dina's got tweet. Freaks ripped off his frozen Chinese food.
Oh, yes.
The boards. Okay. Next morning, Doc threaded into work among the usual B12 habitués, noted an interesting bruise on Petunia's leg, and hauled on upstairs to start checking the list of cop auxiliaries he'd gotten from Fritz, a chore he was not looking forward to. Just as a recall, I believe that was Clancy Sherlock giving him plates that then his computer friend looked up.
Yes.
He had run into these would-be heavies now and then, displaying an attitude typical of the overarmed, sporting paramilitary berets and camo fatigues and other Vietnam gear from surplus stores on Hawthorne Boulevard, and decorated with badges and ribbons, some even authentic, though not strictly speaking, earned. He could not recall one of them who'd ever looked at him kindly or even neutrally. These were neighborhood scolds, licensed to carry weapons, and heaven help any male citizen with hair that ran much past Marine regulation length. All of these people had day jobs, of course. Doc called up, pretending to be different kinds of salesmen, or the DMV in Sacramento with a harmless question, or sometimes just an old buddy who'd drifted out of touch and found the wives. All of these guys were family men, in the mood to talk. And talk. A side effect of marriage, as Fritz had imparted to Doc when he was but newly out of the chute. These broads are all itching to talk because nobody in their home life wants to hear anything they have to say. Sit still for 2 seconds and they'll be yakking your ear off. They don't have sisters or other wives to talk to? Doc wondered. Sure, but generally that's nothing we can use. Doc waited until evening after everybody had had supper, settling himself for a quick Taco Bell burrito, a day's worth of nutrition and still a bargain at 69 cents. He had on another short hair wig, a side-parted chestnut number picked up at a sale on Hollywood Boulevard, and a thrift store suit that looked like a Three Stooges reject. When the traffic had tapered off some, he headed down to an address in the Rossmore Cypress area just over the county line. He'd just gotten on the freeway when he'd heard the radio DJ saying, "Going out from Bambi to all the spotted dickheads in KQAS kickass radio land, here's the lads with their latest single, Long Trip Out." And after a Farfisa intro from Smedley, full of transatlantic Floyd Kramer licks, here came Asymmetric Bob singing. Okay.
Oh, yes, you knew you have to do a song today.
He's been out there soldiering for a fascist state, so don't expect too much fun on the very first date. He'll be missing the life, he'll be missing the food, he'll be going around in this peculiar mood, wondering how did he get back here in the world with the freaked out hippies and the dope smoking girls, and it's a long trip out from the Yadrong Valley. Smedley singing along in harmony, Somerset with a bottleneck guitar fill. It's a sad, bad ride when you're far away. from the good old boys you left behind in country where the only thing you want is just another day. Oh my God, two more verses. Well, it may sound to you like a custom exhaust, but that ain't what he's hearing, and he's flashing back lost in the middle of a night full of fire and fear, and he don't even know who he's hanging with here, and that joint you've been smoking that you thought would help is just making things worse. You're even fooling yourself, cause it's a long trip from the Mekong Delta. It's a last lost chance when you need a friend, and you're flying on out of Cameron Bay at midnight, and you won't know how to get back home again. Whew. Okay, I'm imagining like, you know, and they really start noodling on the organ.
Yeah, maybe some like Flying Burrito Brothers type thing.
Yeah. Plastic trikes in the yards, people out watering the flowers and working on their cars, kids in the driveways shooting hoops, the high frequency squeal of a TV sweep circuit through a screen door as Doc came up the path of the address he was looking for, to be followed by the more worldly sound as he reached the front steps of the Bugs Bunny / Roadrunner Hour. According to Fritz, the sweep frequency was 15,750 cycles per second. And the second Doc turned 30, which would be any minute now, he would no longer be able to hear it. So this routine of American house approach had begun to hold for him a particular sadness. Arthur Tweedle was a civilian machinist who worked a regular day shift at the Naval Weapons Station. On weekends, and sometimes weeknights too, he put on a sort of fatigue uniform from Jack Frost, that's D apostrophe Jack.
Did
Jack Frost, the Manson family's favorite surplus store in Santa Monica, and went off to meetings of Vigilant California, along with his neighbor Prescott, another counter-subversive hobbyist, also on the list, Fritz had run for Doc. Art wore pale horn rims beneath a high, untroubled forehead, and there was little to object to in the face he put on for company, except maybe for a slightly paralyzed look, as if it was a gear he didn't quite know how to shift out of. Doc was posing as a rep for Harry Rope Home Security of Tarzana, which he did not, he hoped, exist. Aunt Reet had told him once long ago about the California homeowner's belief that if you run a hairy rope all around your property line, no snakes will ever cross it. Our system works on a similar principle, Doc now explained to the Tweedles, Art and Cindy. We set up a network of electric eyes hooked to speakers all along your property line. Anybody breaking the beam will trigger a pattern of subsonic pulses. Some will produce vomiting, some diarrhea. Any of it's enough to send any intruder back where he came from with a hefty dry cleaning bill to deal with. Of course, you and your family can disable the system remotely whenever you need to get on or off your property or mow the lawn or whatever. Sounds kind of complicated, said Art. And besides, we've already got a system right here with a proven track record, and you're looking at him. But say you had to go out of town. Cindy, squeezing his wife's ass as she came back in with long neck beer bottles on a tray, is a better shot than me, and we'll be breaking the kids in on the 22s before you know it.
Beer bottles on a tray.
Yeah.
We should get a tray.
A tray of Coronas?
Yeah, next time I have the boys over.
Yeah.
Would you please bring us a tray full of long neck
you
beers?
You better do something for me in return.
Well, I'll bring a tray full of long necks for you and the girls.
Okay, fine. That's feminism. Time passes by so quickly, Cindy said. Sounds like you're covered pretty good, but no harm, I hope, in dropping by like this. You're on a list of local homeowners with a history of concern for property defense. Your service with the police reserves, for example. We're not technically LA residents, but I'm on what they call standby. Cars all dialed and ready to roll. I can get any place they need me in under an hour, said Art. Every time we talk with the LAPD, there's somebody sure to mention you guys and say how they wish there were more of you. Only so many patrol cars and men in uniform, and it's a dark, ugly situation out there. They need all the help we can give them. Which didn't turn the tap on full force right away, but little by little, with the Tweedles encouraging each other, as the Beverly Hillbillies rolled along toward Green Acres and the long necks kept arriving, Art began to bring out his collection of home defense equipment, which ran from dainty little ladies' pearl-handled 22s through 357 Magnums to Vietnam surplus grenade launchers. And that's just single shot, said Art. The full auto inventory's back in the shop. He led Doc through the back door out into the primetime evening and across the deep lot through sounds from neighbors through window screens, TVs, and after supper clearing up and kids bickering to an outbuilding in the shape of a midget barn holding a variety of assault rifles and light machine guns and Art's pride and joy, the terminally illegal Gleichschaltung Model 33 automatic bazooka, which required a two-person team. One to aim the 75-millimeter launch tube itself, and the other to drive the modified electric golf cart carrying the magazine, which held up to 100 rounds. Not a bazooka on a golf cart.
Yeah, it's a self-propelled bazooka.
Won't be any darkies sneaking onto this watermelon patch anytime soon, declared Art. Quite a contraption, Doc said. Where would a guy get a hold of something like this? Oh, dealers, Art demurely. Swap meets, sensitivity group sessions. How about on the job? Would the department allow you to pack one? Maybe we'll find out one day soon. Sure would have made a difference in Watts. Hasn't been much of that type of action lately. How are they keeping you fellas busy? Weekend maneuvers, urban counter-guerrilla training. Sometimes they'll want an individual tended to but can't commit the manpower. Not very exciting. Stakeouts, maybe a rock through a window with a warning note. But it's cash on the spot, enough to keep the pizza man happy anyhow. As they were leaving Art's workshop, Doc happened to spot a Nordic-themed ski mask hanging on a door hook. It looked strangely like the ones in the footage Farley Branch had taken of the assault on Chick Planet Massage. Doc's nose started itching furiously. Hey, I got one like that for Christmas, just dropping a random nightcrawler off the end of the pier. Well, except mine had these stuffed antlers on top and sort of a big red, you know, Rudolph-type thing on the nose, battery-operated, so forth. This one here's standard issue, Art couldn't help swaggering a little. Part of the uniform for when we're out on maneuvers. Was that you guys a couple weeks back out at that wing ding where Mickey Wolfman disappeared? Sure was. We ended up chasing a gang of bikers all over Channelview Estates. Meanest looking bunch you ever saw, but push come to shove, no more trouble than Negroes, really. Yeah, I kept seeing commercials for the place with that detective fellow. What's his name? Bjornson. Sure, old Bigfoot. Think I even coordinated with him once or twice, downtown, on some trespass cases. One of America's true badasses, said Art Tweedle. No kidding. Struck me as more of a college professor than a field cop. Exactly. That's his cover, like Clark Kent, mild-mannered. But you ought to see him out on the job. Whew. Move over, Pete Malloy. Back off, Steve McGarrett. Pete Malloy?
I don't know these people. Guys on TV.
Guys on TV, bad boys.
Here, I'll look up Pete Malloy.
That dangerous, huh? Guess next time we're in touch, I'll have to watch my step. Which would be almost immediately. After somehow driving under the influence back to the beach by way of surface streets, Doc went in the kitchen and was reaching for the coffee can when the phone kicked into strident alarm.
Yeah. Pete Malloy was on the TV show Adam 22.
Okay.
No, Adam 22
is the streamer?
The streamer. Adam 12.
Okay. Is Adam 22 a reference to Adam 12?
I have no idea. Adam 12 is something like I'm aware of existing in like the detritus of
Adam 22
of early TV.
Oh.
But I don't know what it means. Adam 12, American police procedural crime drama television created by Robert A. Sinder. In their police cruiser, two cops, Pete Malloy and Jim Reed, as they patrol Los Angeles in their police cruiser, assigned the call side one Adam 12.
Got it. Okay.
Is the Adam 22 thing of...
I don't know. I'll have to look.
He killed the previous 21 Adams in his clone vat.
He's the 22nd Adam. All right. He's answering the phone. Idiots Unlimited. First to go, last to know. And how in our pathetically fucked up way can we improve your life tonight? I'm in an evil mood myself, Bigfoot informed him. So I hope you're not expecting warmth, empathy, nothing like that. Clark Kent's ass. Having spent the trip home trying to stay in the correct lane and not fall asleep at the wheel, Doc hadn't got around yet to considering what, according to Art Tweedle, was now a far more sinister Bigfoot Bjornson than he'd imagined. He'd also understood vaguely that right now might not be the best time to bring any of this up. Maintain, he advised himself. Maintain. Howdy, Bigfoot. I apologize if I've interrupted some exceptionally demanding hippie task, like trying to remember where the glue is on the zigzag paper, but it seems we have yet another problem, not unconnected with this fatality of yours for introducing disaster into every life you touch, however glancingly. Uh-oh, Doc lit a cool and started looking around for his stash. I am all too aware of the memory lapses you people must constantly struggle with, but would you happen to recall one Rudy Blatnoid DDS? One? Sure. Why? Are there more? Keen-witted as ever. Would you rather talk this over in person? We can easily dispatch a chauffeur. Chauffeur. What am I saying? Chauffeur.
I'm kind of imagining that.
Chauffeur.
A chauffeur.
A chauffeur. Sorry, you say Dr. Blatnoid has perpetrated his last root canal, I'm afraid. We found him next to a trampoline in Bel Air scarcely an hour ago with a fatal neck injury. Perhaps even suffered while bouncing in the pitch darkness on that classic resource of backyard fun. Who knows? But certain details do appear inconsistent.
Classic resource of backyard fun.
He was wearing a suit, necktie, and loafers, seldom considered appropriate for trampoline activities. We began to entertain the possibility of foul play, though so far we have no witnesses, no motives, no suspects. Apart from you, of course. Not me. Odd, because only the other night Dr. Blatnoid was observed riding in a vehicle full of dope-crazed hippie freaks, including yourself, which got stopped by officers in Beverly Hills on suspicion of being a pofocac, or potential focus of cult activity. Okay, the owner of that car, very respectable PV family, by the way, she offered me a ride, and the cops never even gave her a ticket? And Dr. Blatnoid was her friend, not mine? I don't wish to pry, Sportello, but where have you been tonight? We've been trying to call you all evening. I was at the movies. Of course you were. And where was that again? Hermosa Theater. And the film was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which in fact Doc had been to see while the car was in the shop. This chick I was with wanted to see the other half of the double feature, so we stuck around for that too. Some English jailbait picture whose name I'll think of in a minute. Ah, the prime of Miss Jean Brody, no doubt. A splendid film for which Maggie Smith richly deserves her Oscar for Best Actress. She,
I love that he's a showbiz dork.
She was which one again? The blonde with the big tits, right? Not a fan of the British cinema, I take it. More of a Lee Van Cleef person, to be honest. I mean, that Clint Eastwood, he's okay, but I always end up thinking of him as Rowdy Yates. Yes, well, there's an officer here with some evidence bags, and I'll have to get back to the really amusing part of this evening. Would you mind dropping by Parker Center tomorrow? I'd so like to chat about this fool's errand you were kind enough to send me off on, this Coy Harlingen case. Yeah, by the way, some friends of Coy's came around yesterday and trashed my associate's apartment, so maybe it ain't such a cold case after all. There's cold, and there's cold, said Bigfoot enigmatically and hung up. That night, Doc dreamed he was a little kid again. He and another kid who resembles his brother Gilroy are sitting in the Arizona Palms in the middle of the afternoon with a woman who is not exactly Elmina, though she is somebody's mother. A waitress comes over with menus. Where's Shannon? Asked the woman who isn't exactly Elmina. She got murdered. I'm her replacement. Guess it was only a matter of time. Who did it? The husband. Who else? She brings their food in several trips, each time with some update on the slaying of her coworker. The weapon, the suggested motives, the pretrial maneuvering. She interrupts banana cream pie a la mode discussions with, known to happen. Somebody kills somebody they're fucking, even in love with. Shrinks and counselors and lawyers can only do so much. You go behind the boulevards and you're in the Badlands again, where these people who always tell you how to behave have no jurisdiction anymore, and all the 24-hour Southland belongs to the bad. Mom, little Larry wants to know, when she comes back, will they let her husband out of jail? When who comes back? Shannon. Didn't you hear what the girl said? Shannon's dead. That's only in stories. The real Shannon will come back. Hell, she will. She will, Mom. You really believe that stuff? Well, what do you think happens to you when you die? You're dead. You don't believe you can come back to life? I don't want to talk about it. Well, what does happen? I don't want to talk about it. Gilroy is watching them with enormous eyes and playing with his food, which annoys the Elmina woman, for whom eating is serious business. Oh, now you're playing. Don't play, eat. And you, she tells Doc, someday you're going to have to conform. What do you mean? Sorry, what do you mean? Be like everybody else. Of course that's what she means. And now grown-up Doc feels his life surrounded by dead people who do and don't come back, or who never went. And meantime, everybody else understands which is which, but there is something so clear and simple that Doc is failing to see, will always manage not to grasp. He woke up into this particular season of onshore fogs and the unnatural rumblings of jets taking off and landing at LAX all night long, as if some hand at a control board had pushed the base to an unexpected level, and he found the Indian bedspread on the couch where he crashed running red and orange dye from what could only be his tears. He walked around well into the morning with a dim paisley pattern across half his face. That's the end of the chapter. How are we on time?
I think that's a good place to stop.
Okay.
We're at like 20 minutes.
All right.
It's a little shorter than usual, but frankly, that's the amount that I initially envisioned this podcast going.
Yes.
20 minutes of reading.
That's just night pods.
That's just night pods. Kind of what's the right word? Maudlin? Wistful?
Morose.
Morose ending for that chapter.
Yeah.
But dead people who won't stay dead, or, and alive people, or alive people who should be alive showing up dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the detective's work.
I guess it's the detective's work.
Where are they? We must find out.
Yes. I feel like that's also something that a lot of hardcore hippies, a place they found themselves at the end of the 60s.
Yes. Like Austin Power.
Yep.
Austin Power is making the count of his friends that have died.
Yes.
Mama Cass, ham sandwich.
Mama Cass, ham sandwich.
Did that, you know how there's like podcasts that are like, you're wrong about? I think in fact there's a podcast called You're Wrong About.
Yeah. They're creeping
up on us. Did they
ever
do a Mama Cass, or is that not complicated enough?
I don't know. I don't know what the whole premise of that thing is.
The thing, the Mama Cass thing, because I remember growing up and being like, oh yeah, she choked on a ham sandwich. But I believe she died of an overdose of barbiturates, and she, I think, just happened to
have ham sandwich in her mouth.
Yeah. You know, a lot of these people, they die on the toilet, but it's not because of the toilet. It's because of everything that happened before the toilet.
That brought them to the toilet.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a good way of pointing it. Just because you die on the toilet doesn't mean the toilet killed you.
So when that happens to me, you tell them.
I'll make sure that they know.
I die in the toilet, try not to, whatever. It like anything, I'll be dead. Who cares? Say whatever you want.
I will say she died peacefully in her sleep on the toilet.
On the toilet. If there needs to be any benefit to death, it's got to be no longer being embarrassed.
That's true.
Please, God,
you
take
will finally
that away.
Be free of being cringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally. You will. Yes. You won't stop being cringe until you're dead.
It depends how you died, though, because there are certainly cringe ways to die.
Cringest ways to die?
Yeah, the cringest ways to die. Coming soon on Spike TV.
What is a cringe way to die?
Doing something knowingly dangerous that you...
Subway surfing?
Yeah, subway surfing.
There's
that
a whole
you're just
world,
being cocky about.
There's a whole world, though, that I bet thinks that dying off of a subway surfing incident is like the coolest thing that you can do.
I kind of think, I hope I don't get mad at me at this. I kind of think Paul Walker's death is a cringe way to die.
Interesting. They were
dicking around in fast cars, even though you are internationally known for only being in movies about fast cars.
I have complicated feelings about this, because on one hand, it's definitely a way to go. You know, I'm sure it sounds like he was dead immediately, right?
I guess so. I mean, Felix has made this point on Chapo many times about that one billionaire who apparently killed himself by driving like a Maserati into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour. And that being like the only actually cool way to kill yourself, which I kind of get. But I don't think he intended to kill himself.
No.
I think in the end, he was dicking around in fast, expensive cars.
Yes. He had a lethal need for speed.
Yeah.
He also had a kid. I do think maybe it's scoldy of me, but I think once you bring a child in this world, you can't just be like acting, doing whatever the fuck you want. I think that's one of the handshakes you have to make with existence is like no more 0 to 160 in 2.5.
Yes, exactly. That is just, look, there are things that I do in my life that are dangerous. but
he's speaking, of course, for his secret drag racing.
Yeah.
Career.
Well, but I was just going to say car racing, car stuff is so stupid. It makes me uncomfortable. Like, do you remember that one time that person with the Tesla wanted to show off how fast the Tesla
I do.
Were
and I hated every second of that.
I was
talk about a cringe
so,
way to die.
Yes.
Oh,
showing off how fast your Tesla is and it not being able to brake because of those things are death traps and ramming that into a brick wall.
Yeah.
That really pissed me off. I was actually angry at our host at that time because I kept being like, no, I don't want to see how fast this Tesla is. Please do not show me how fast this Tesla is.
And like, God, if God forbid we get into an accident, that is going to be legitimately embarrassing. Like, how did they die? Oh, well, you know, they were just speeding up way too fast in a residential area in their brand new Tesla.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
Awful.
Fuck your Tesla.
Stupid.
Bigfoot.
Yeah, Bigfoot. Bad. I don't know. I was trying to think of other cringe ways to die. I'm sure I will think of them. I mean, autoerotic asphyxiation.
I mean, would it be cringe to die to, you know, be in a political party where a big tenet of it was like denying that COVID is that bad and then dying of COVID?
That's pretty good.
Then you start getting into the Darwin Awards of it all, which, do you remember that shit?
Oh, yeah. I had multiple Darwin Award books.
I used to go to bookstores and just read entire books like in a sitting so that I wouldn't have to pay for them. Mm-hmm. And I definitely did that with the Darwin Awards book.
Or one of the best Wikipedia categories, lists of inventors killed by their own invention.
Yes.
Which I think goes back and forth from being cringe to being awesome.
Yeah, it's a little like, if that's your spirit, then
yes, if you,
go with God.
If you're dying through pursuit of the sublime.
Yeah, like segwaying off a cliff.
Yeah, like segwaying off a cliff.
I guess that wasn't the inventor of the Segway.
But it was the owner.
The owner of the Segway. Yeah.
Bigfoot, bad. I'm glad that they're tying this in now too. Kind of the original era, the golden era of like racist LAPD SWAT team, like special forces.
Yes.
Teams.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure that's still a thing nationwide, you know, militias, basically.
Yeah.
Semi-official militias.
Well, I mean, it's going on. It's going on even more now. I mean, we've mentioned the sheriff gangs in LA,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Curtis Siwa and the Guardian Angels, they just popped again like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
Where they like performatively like beat up some guy in Times Square.
Seriously?
Yeah, did you see this?
I did not see this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's, I mean, nothing's more psychotic than a cop who can't cop enough on his
cop time
and has to freelance doing extra cop.
Yeah, no.
Cop shit.
Not a freelance cop.
Not even freelancing, volunteer doing more
pro bono
policing.
Cop work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know that there are some cops who have to take like security work to get extra money or whatever, which, you know, again, not too much sympathy for, but whatever.
You know what? Okay. I do have something to bring up on this pod because I was mulling it over today. Yeah. Is that it's a theory of youth culture, and that, you know, we used to basically not have youth culture because we, for a while, a lot of kids would just die. And then you would send them off to work, or they would work on the farm.
Yeah, you just become like an adult at age 14.
And then in like the 50s, they invented the concept of teenager, of course. And then immediately it was like, fuck them teenagers.
Yes.
Like, these people suck. And so my theory is, you know, the way that we treat like Gen Z as a block right now is how we treated hippies.
Yeah.
Like, there's basically, I'm obsessed with this idea that nothing is ever really declining. It's all just, everything is declining at the same rate, but the rate stays steady over time.
Yeah.
It's like a calculus problem, finding the limit to something.
Yes.
Or like the rate at one particular point.
Yes.
So when people talk about Gen Z and what they do or don't do and what they do or don't care about, is that any different than the way that we talked about millennials when we were young and dumb, or back to hippies being like, oh, these freaks?
Well, it seems like the constant strain of society in the post-World War II era is that about every 25 to 30 years, the length of time that you are a child gets extended another 5 to 10 years.
Okay, so now we're at 25, right? Because that's when your frontal lobe develops.
Or no, I just like in terms of how society works, we're at like 30. Mm. People are
living at home. And
the average person is like genuinely not like set up to live independently.
Sure,
you know, yes. Until that late into their development. You know? And every new generation is like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? And it's like, well, there are no like houses or jobs or ways to like live.
Yes. Sorry, our surf video just took a bad touch. I think this is the Maui fires.
Oh, yeah, the Maui fire. Came up through our surf video playlist. Yeah. Or they might just be doing a touching moment in one guy's. Yeah, this is like a profile of one guy. I'm sure he was. I guess he was affected by the fires.
I didn't realize Red Bull has a surfing wing, but of course they do.
Yeah, of course. Just like racing.
Red Bull gives you your surfboard wing.
Your surfboard wings.
I don't know. I just think it is funny that basically once we invented young people, we were like, fuck you.
Yeah.
If there's any defining difference between like the millennial thing and the Gen Z thing is that we did have parents who were just like kept nattering to us to like do XYZ in order to like maintain their tone upward. And now I don't think we necessarily have that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I was just seeing someone on Twitter today talking about like, I can't believe, Gen Z doesn't want to like work hard given the everything around them. And I'm like, yeah, at least we have like this like workplace respectability thing. And
well, you still kind of got to work hard even if things are collapsing.
Oh, I agree. But I would say all of the decorum is collapsing.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily.
God, did you see that post about from the R teachers subreddit about kids being assholes?
Yeah.
That's pretty grim.
Listen,
I feel like that would not be acceptable. Literally unacceptable behavior.
Yeah.
Would be like punished or expelled from school.
I never saw anything even close to that when I was in high school. And I mean,
remembering the rudest moments of high school.
Go on. Anything you want to share?
The one that immediately came to my head is in one day in health class, a girl, we were doing condoms in health class, and a girl asked a really stupid question about condoms. I don't even remember. And even the teacher was like, I feel like you should know, like it should just be, you should know this intuitively. And one of the kids blurted out, well that's because, just blurted out, that's because her boyfriend likes to hit it raw. And that got a big laugh from everybody and a 3-day suspension.
3-day suspension?
Or 2-day suspension.
Mm. Did you have in-school suspension versus out-of-school by any chance?
You were in a different scenario. Yeah, I don't think so. We didn't have many suspensions, but that certainly got one.
We had ISS and OSS.
The worst I ever got was a few detentions.
I got a detention in middle school because there was a student teacher who, I'm sorry, was not a smart woman mm-hmm. and made me question the concept of, it wasn't a student teacher, it was like an assistant teacher, made me question the concept of like, what is the point of being an educator if you're just not smart?
Yeah.
And I was a dick about it, obviously, but I was trying to help another student in my class, and she like misunderstood what I was doing, and she told me to stop helping him, and I like mouthed off to her. I can't remember what I said. But in my head, I'm like, I'm just fighting on behalf of the little guy.
Yeah.
And also like, shut the fuck up. You have no idea what you're talking about. That was the worst it got.
I got some detentions for tardiness, for acting a fool, for the chili cook-off thing, of course.
The chili cook-off, yes.
Have I told that story on the pod?
I think you have. Okay, you great. The worst group action we did against a teacher was a teacher I really liked, and did you have this at your school? In our school, the like kind of common knowledge was that if your teacher mm-hmm. was 15 minutes or more late, that you got to leave.
Was that just like urban legend though?
Yeah, exactly. So like, it was like, if it never happened until senior year, and then Mr. Cox like was not there, and a revolution started fomenting, and we were like, guys, it's 10 minutes. 15 minutes, should we just fucking get out of here?
Go?
It was like spring of senior year. We were like, we fucking hate this shit. And he was 15 minutes late. And so we were like, let's just like go. Let's just like go outside and hang out. And then he like came outside completely exasperated. Like, what the fuck is wrong with
you guys? Where were you?
And we're like, sorry. Oops. But I can't imagine like laughing because a teacher's like husband died or something. Yeah. That's like, that's another level.
Yeah. Obviously you have, I don't know, I guess we're two little apple polishers. So it's like you have,
we are,
antagonistic relationships with your teacher just because you don't want to be there, but you don't, you also like respect them as humans.
I never even considered going like ad hominem, you know?
Yeah.
Like, or personal, like everything. Yeah. Everything that I didn't like about school and teachers, I located within the institution, not within the personal.
I can't even imagine what it's like in like an inner city public school or something.
I mean, post COVID, I just don't, I'm not trying to hoot and holler about like the COVID itself, but I do feel like we need like a nationwide healing of that after 2020, because I think it's broken a lot of people's brains in a lot of ways.
We really did need some kind of jubilee of sorts.
We did.
And it should have been the fucking stimulus money.
Yeah.
The Biden checks. It should have been a great moment of national reward where it's somehow everything came together and was like more than you expected.
Yeah.
The $1,400, you know, the $1,400 that was supposed to be, yeah, like everybody in America, $2,000 and an extra day off.
Yeah.
Like that one episode of Futurama where they get the silk surplus money, the 301.
A national day off with like events that like a combination of like remembrance and like celebration in your town.
Yes.
Across the country during the summertime so that people could like do it outside.
Yes.
Would have been a great thing to do in like 2022.
Yes.
And we just don't even care. Yeah. When we went to London, there is like a wall, like a COVID remembrance wall. Yeah. Like I think we're literally just going to pretend that this shit did not happen.
Yes.
That's not good.
And like, and it sucks, but like a lot of grade school kids probably should have gone back to the grade that they came from.
Yeah.
Like if you were graduating like fifth or sixth grade in 2020, sorry, you kind of got to do fifth or sixth grade again next year because
everybody
it didn't really count.
It. Yeah. Yeah. It's not like it's just you. It's like, all right, I'm sure that would fuck.
I wonder, I really do wonder if, you know, there'll be, you know, 10 years in the future and we start meeting like, you know, people in their 20s start generally hitting the social scene and are we all going to be like, are these kids like a little touched? Like, is something wrong with them? And we'll be like, oh, they were like in elementary or middle school when COVID happened.
Yeah. I mean, there's all, yeah. I think the more we ignore it, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah.
We really are
going to be feeling the ramifications of that for generations.
And it is so funny because it was relatively not that long of a period of time. We got about a year between onset of COVID and vaccines.
Yeah.
14 months.
I mean, that was a real bad year.
Yeah. A most unfortunate year.
And then like
year.
18 months before people felt like, okay, we can okay, like, to, kind like, of out, be normal. Stuff. And then of course there's the hardcore rump of people being like, you are doing genocide by being normal even now.
Sure. Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, no one wants long COVID.
Yes. How many people are dying of COVID per day?
I don't even know if they're tracking it anymore. I really think they just want to pretend that it never happened.
Yeah. Anyway, why did we start talking about COVID?
Talking about COVID, about children
and the prolonged
and
youth,
teenagers and youth, and hippies, now it's all online. The hate Ashbury is on Minecraft.
Yeah.
If you go to play some Minecraft, make sure to put some flowers in your avatar's hair.
Yeah, from like 19. Here's my okay. From like 1945 to 1970. Mm-hmm. The amount of time that you were like a youth extended from like basically age 10 to age like 20.
Yeah.
And then over the last 30 years, it's been like a slow creep up from age 20 to age 30. Yeah.
In terms of like leaving the house, getting married, blah, blah,
doing
blah.
Doing all the markers of socialization.
Well, I'd be curious to see how much longer it gets.
It would be nice if the lives kept getting longer, but I feel like our life spans are actually like kind of shortening a little bit.
They are.
Another decade or so, you're really going to have to squeeze in all of adulthood into like 20 years.
that's the problem.
Yes.
You can't. Some things don't work that way.
Yeah. Like you can't make vegan gluten-free box mac and cheese.
Yes. I think there's got to be a some kind of balance between, you know, we do need to create a new paradigm of adulthood because the old version of adulthood people didn't seem to like that much either.
Yeah.
But then also, like, we need to get people moving.
Anything else we want to say about the book?
You know, I feel like the mood has been like dark this past couple of passages. Like,
yeah,
we're in the dark night of the soul of Doc.
Yeah, Rudy Blatnoid.
Blatnoid ate shit.
Died on a trampoline somehow, either by fair or foul play. Is that a cringe death? Being an adult who dies on a trampoline.
Yeah,
trampoline,
that definitely could get in there. I think you're right about autoerotic asphyxiation, which I was just thinking about because I was looking into the Carradine family because I really did think that they were part Asian.
They are not.
Oh my God. I was like, yeah, of course, because we watched that old episode of King of the Hill where Hank meets his Japanese half-brother, voiced by David Carradine.
Something you could not do now.
Voiced quite Japanese accentedly by David Carradine. Why did we decide this?
Yes.
They fucked with the lifestyle.
I guess we get Ken Watanabe now.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we've got an increasing amount of Korean actors. I guess not that many like Japanese accented known name actors in Hollywood. It would probably have to be Ken Watanabe.
I have a question. Yeah. Bill in Kill Bill. He was not, though he was obviously played as Asian influenced, like he, you know, he had Pai Mei and, you know, he was a kung fu master or whatever, but he was not played as an Asian man.
No. No, he's a white guy. He's like The Bride, a white guy who trained in Asia.
Oh my God. That's one of the most, like, I'm sure there's other examples of this, of just like, why did this cultural infusion happen so 360 degrees?
Well, you're familiar with Kung Fu, the TV show.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, of course.
Which coded him, Carradine, as Asian for the rest of his life.
I'm trying to think of another example of it, and I'm drawing a blank. I mean, obviously there's the sort of cultural, like, culture vulturing of, like, early Pink was the singer, like, kind of seemed
maybe
like sort of black,
but not really.
Anyway,
yeah. Weird. That guy, that Maori guy I did that video about,
yes,
who's like, being Maori is like kind of the cheat code to, like, you can kind of play any ethnicity.
Right, he's played like Middle Eastern, Latino,
black.
Yeah. Native American. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, why did I bring that up?
David Carradine.
David Carradine.
Oh, autoerotic asphyxiation. Yes.
God, sorry. This is the later night potting.
Yeah, we're getting a little wacky.
My synapses aren't aligned.
Yes.
Don't try not to die in a cringe way. Live cringe. Don't die cringe.
Yeah.
It's better to live cringe than
live
to die cringe.
Die based.
Die based. Yeah. Wow. Damn.
All right. We're at 42 minutes. That's
good enough.
That's good.
That's old enough to party.
Any questions, anyone out there?
I don't know.
Send us some questions. Maybe we should do a Q&A or something. What questions do you have for us? What are we missing? Is there something we're missing about the, I feel like there's some kind of, like, not a key, but a kind of secret sauce of the pin that is missing from the Pynchon discussion a little bit.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll read. Is it time to read some literary criticism?
Yeah.
Parrot.
If there are any suggestions out there, get at us.
Sure.
All right. Bye.
Bye.